Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello to everyone for a brand new week. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden, Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. We have with us, and we're going to jump right in because this is going on, like, as we speak at the Colorado Legislature, Laura Neumeister and Carla Pendleton with the Convention of States. They're the state people here in Colorado. And ladies, first off, I thank you for taking time away because I know there's a ton of stuff going on at the legislature, but thank you for your time today. Let me have you just jump right into it, and whichever one of you wants to take this, and just go ahead and first, why don't you just give everybody sort of a brief explanation of what the Convention of States is and where does it stand right now nationally?
Carly, you want to take that or you want me to go?
You go, Laura.
All right. Convention of States started about 10 years ago. There are two ways to amend the Constitution of the United States. We have 27 amendments. And you can do it through Congress. Congress proposes amendments, and then they get sent back to the states to be ratified. And that's the way we've done it for all 27 ways. But our founding fathers knew that if the federal government became too tyrannical, get too much power, they were never going to limit themselves in that power. So they gave the states a way to completely bypass Congress and propose amendments. And that is through an Article 5 convention. So that is what we are trying to get called. We need 34 states to call for the convention. If the convention is called, they go, they propose amendments. All they do is propose amendments. They have no power. Those amendments get sent back to the states to be ratified. And if 38 states ratify it, it becomes part of our Constitution.
How do they ratify it?
The states can ratify it just in the way they normally do through the state legislatures, or they can do it through a state convention. They have never done it by a state convention before. I honestly don't know that process. But the state legislatures have ratified the previous 27.
Okay. Now, how far along, you said we need 34 states, right? Yes. How far along are you guys?
So far, we have 19 states that have passed the resolution. We still have a good chance of getting a couple. They actually passed it in Kansas also to make number 20, except Kansas has a law that's being debated in court right now that it needed to pass by a supermajority. So it did pass by a majority, but not by a supermajority. So technically, we have 20, but... just 19.
So where, if maybe the other lady could explain this, what is going on in Colorado, not only like right now, but like as we speak?
Well, as we speak, we are growing the grassroots army in Colorado.
Probably, you know, our goal is to grow the largest grassroots army that Colorado has ever experienced. And we're well on our way to doing that because we have so many supporters in so many different areas of Colorado, both rural and urban. And we just want to keep growing that movement because it grows influence with our legislators. And obviously we need our Colorado state legislature to pass this resolution calling for a convention.
Now, and it's being heard, discussed like right now or momentarily, right?
Even as we speak. Yes.
Okay. Now, the bad news is, as you already mentioned, we talked a little bit off the air, we got a completely crazy, insane, progressive, Democrat-controlled legislature, and the bill is in the kill committee. So the odds are not likely that it will survive, the week. But I mean, what is your hope? And that going in, right? So why don't you just all stay home and save your time and money? I mean, why is it so important to keep pushing for you guys?
You know what?
Well, Laura, go ahead.
Go right ahead, Carla.
We
we have the feeling that we absolutely need to do something besides complain, besides watching our liberties being eroded year after year, decade after decade. We see it and we complain about it, but if we don't do something about it, then we're wasting our time. That would be wasting our time. Going to the kill committee to testify is not a waste of time. It's a unifying team building experience. We're learning a lot about the legislature, how it operates. Whether it's controlled by Democrats or Republicans, we are a nonpartisan organization who are interested in maintaining our liberties and in restoring the ones that have been lost to the federal administrative state. So we don't see anything.
What a nice answer.
That's a nice answer. How do you elect delegates to the convention?
The delegates are elected by the state legislature. So they will set up the rules on how that happens. It doesn't matter, you know, whether they send one delegate or 99 delegates, although an odd number would be good. So when they're voting, you know, for your state to yes or no on an amendment, you know, you're not a stalemate there. But no matter how many delegates each state sends, every state only gets one vote. And a simple majority sends the amendment back to the states to be ratified.
We've just watched the Speaker of the House, a minority of Republicans, destroy our liberties with the FISA 702. We've also seen them just vote another $95 billion while we have trillions in debt. They also passed a budget that promoted all the Democratic priorities and none of our own. So how can we trust whoever sent they won't be elected Speaker of the House?
Well, they do have, you know, the resolution has the topics that they need to stick with. And we actually had a simulated convention. I'd love you to watch it sometime, the procedures that go. You know, we're going to have elect somebody who is going to be the speaker, who is in charge, and they're going to have the rules they have to follow, whether it's Robert's rules or whichever. And, you know, we're going to be hopeful. But what we do know is we have a runaway Congress who is not paying attention to the Constitution right now. We have to do something. I mean, the worst thing that could happen, really, besides this convention not being called, is it's called and we don't get something out of it. That would be, you know, it would be very disappointing, but at least we would prove that the convention works and it doesn't run away. We don't, you know, rewrite the Constitution and everything that the fearmongers are throwing out there.
Now, we've talked with a guy who's Mark Meckler, who's running it. And one of the questions we had from some of our listeners was that exact concern that once you start this process, how do you control it, right? How do you make sure that somebody doesn't pass a constitutional amendment?
Get rid of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, to get rid of the Second Amendment, that Joe Biden is president forever or something like that. And he explained that within the resolution that everybody's talking about, there are limits. Can you address that a little bit?
Carly, you want to take that?
Sure. There are three main
pillars. There is primarily term limits on federal officials. That's one goal that we would be proposing amendments for. The second goal is imposing some sort of fiscal restraint on our Congress to stop them from spending money they don't have, we don't have, and bringing our future generations further and further into debt. The third pillar is basically federal overreach, which I'm seeing quite a bit of in my county in Colorado through various federal agencies. So, you know, there are three pillars. And so if someone were to come in, like the Colorado delegation, let's say, comes in and said, okay, well, we want to repeal Second Amendment rights. That goes completely against the third pillar of the resolution, which is being passed in every state. It's always the same. There's no differentiation. So those three pillars are inviolate.
So it would be the kind of thing where whoever is running it would say, basically, that's out of order, right? That's
exactly.
An amendment. that can't be.
Unless Mike Johnson was in charge.
Yeah, then you slip on us.
Well, you know what? You also have to remember, you know, and the Second Amendment comes up all the time. What is it? We now have 29 states that have passed constitutional carry. Even if it went crazy and that proposed amendment went back to the states to be ratified, there is no way that's going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But yes, it would be out of order at the convention also.
And so, and again, so to make sure I understand it, so it's not like you pass this at the convention and poof, all of a sudden it happens, right? Then it has to go back and it's ratified by the states, and a certain number of states have to ratify it. And then it's assumed passed then and added to the Constitution. Is that how that would work? Or will Congress, what about, I would imagine the first thing that Congress would do would be to appeal it to the Supreme Court, or how does that work? Or is it pretty clear that the states have this right to have this convention of states?
Article 5 makes it very clear. There's really no...
There's no controversy there. Article 5 is very short, it's concise, and I doubt that, well, I don't know. As you say, the Congress is completely berserk. Who knows what they would do? But I do trust the Supreme Court to have some understanding of Article 5 its implications.
Is it interesting in that it seems to me that lately these days, as Chuck pointed out, Congress itself, even the so-called Republicans, are making the argument for you, right? I mean, the American people have made it clear, no more aid to Ukraine. The American people have made it clear, we don't want the FBI spying on us without a warrant. And they don't care. They just vote for this stuff anyway, right? And the American people have made it clear, I mean, immigration and illegal immigration, number one election issue. And they spend $300,000 on securing Ukraine's border, zero on ours. And so is that helping your cause, I guess?
You know, absolutely. I mean, people, the one thing people don't know is that we exist, that there is an answer out there, because it does not matter who's in office, Republican or Democrats. The system is broken. They are not following the Constitution. They are following the judicial activist rulings is what they're doing. And bad ruling after bad ruling gets us in this position. And when people hear about us, when we go out and educate the public through events and radio shows like yours, thank you so much. We get a big response because people want to be part of it. They want the federal government out of their business.
Right.
How many people do you have down at the Capitol to testify?
You know what? I was doing it by Zoom, so I don't know how many actually showed up. I think we've got about 20 people who have showed up to testify in person. We have people on Zoom that are doing it. There are some that I think are testifying that we don't even know about.
Is there any organized opposition to this, or are they just kind of like ignoring it for right now and hoping it goes away?
Carly, you want to go? I can go.
Yeah, there is organized
opposition. Many of the George Soros-funded organizations have come out very much opposed to Convention of States, and that helps too. So
yeah.
Come on.
Pointing that out. Well, so they're going to vote in committee. Odds are, at least this time around, because you can come back next year, right?
This is our third year in a row that we've done this. We just need somebody to sponsor us.
Okay.
Maybe you guys could be a little about like in Shawshank Redemption, where the guy was writing the government for a library stuff, and they finally got so sick of seeing him, they granted it. So maybe they'll get so sick of seeing you guys.
That's true.
You know, actually, that's how I got my first job in television. I was a TV reporter for 40 years. I once a week, maybe every 10 days, I called this news director down at KRDO TV in Colorado Springs and begged him for a job. And finally, he said, you know, look, if I just bring you in as something, will you quit calling me? And I was like, yes. So there is something to that.
Yeah, but we're not going away.
Let me then kind of a final question for you guys. Because I know, again, the ruling is today and it's, you know, it'd be some sort of bizarre miracle, but you'll keep us posted. But in the meantime, though, there is a rally coming up this week. Why don't you tell folks about that? And if they're interested, how they can find out information or participate?
Absolutely. We also hold a rally every year on the West Steps of Capitol. This year, it's this Thursday, April 25th at 11 a.m. Mark Meckler is our keynote speaker. Also, Senator Kevin Lundberg is going to be speaking.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, he's also going to be leading us in the national anthem.
There you go.
So we're going to be there, you know, really to motivate each other, to strategize with each other, because we need to keep growing this grassroots army, especially up and down that I-25 corridor. Carla, you want to tell some more about the rally?
You know, there's going to be a lot of networking going on there. So there'll be a lot of grassroots activists involved.
If you want to come out and meet some people who are very dedicated and very active in this cause, come to the rally. There'll be plenty of opportunity for you to learn about volunteer opportunities that exist in Colorado, and that's almost everything. There is nowhere that we don't need volunteers to step up and organize and get the grassroots motivated to influence their legislators. I mean, that's kind of one reason we're showing up there, is to make a statement, you know, and allow our co-sponsors. We have a number of sponsors for this resolution. We want to give them an opportunity to speak to the people who are supporting them.
Oh, do you mind?
So I assume Dick Wadhams isn't one of your speakers?
No, I don't think so.
I lied. Final question. Who are some of your sponsors? Or, I mean, I don't know. Do you have a list of them off the top of your head? Or
You know what? I wish I had the whole, like, okay. You would know them. Obviously, Rose Pugliese is our sponsor. Ty Winters signed on to the resolution. Matt Soper did. Mark Catlin. Who else, Carla? Brandy Bradley.
Mike Lynch definitely
signed off. I had a list here, but, you know, it's in the motorhome. Sorry.
That's all right.
You cross.
Yeah, you got Mike Lynch and you got Brandy. That's two opposite ends of the party.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, lady, thank you for your time today. Good luck out there. Yeah. And yeah, if
best
it text us or keep us posted on what happens. And you know what? If it doesn't go this year, we'll have you back again next year.
Awesome.
Thank you
so much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was Laura Neimeister and Carla Pendleton with the Convention of States. Going, and I think, what did Leo have? Oh, Sandra says, good luck to you both. What a great fight. Leo says, a constitutional convention needs 34 states just to petition Congress for it. Then if they go forward, it is open season and how it could be run, Article 5. You know, Leo, that is, we had Mark Meckler on, though, and he actually did a good job of explaining how they couldn't do that. But on the other hand, you are exactly right. That is what the people who are not so sure about this are saying. On the other hand, I got to say, I'm not totally decided, because I need to educate myself more on exactly how I stand on this. But I do think you kind of start asking yourself, could it be any worse?
Well, I think they had a good point. You know, it's not going to get better.
No.
We've seen that, you know, Republicans can take the House and we just become the lapdogs for the Democrats. You know, maybe a constitutional convention can do something. I mean, how can it be worse than what we've already got, were open borders and everything else?
Open borders, spying on Americans.
Spying, getting ready for World War III.
Yeah.
Nuclear power is flashing. I mean.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh. It's not nuclear power. That's so funny when nuclear power is called. Gosh, that's hilarious. Leo says, oh, not against what they're doing, but just have to see the long view. Exactly, Leo. Exactly. You know, speaking of. But one thing, we've got Karen Kettling, one of my favorite people in the universe, coming up at 3:30 to talk about what just seems to be this out of control. It's not anymore just pro-Palestinian. It is openly, violently anti-Jewish stuff going on at college campuses and all over. And wanted to talk to her because she always has some great insights about, you got to remember and see what's really going on there. Oh, but she's here. I didn't know. Are you here already, Karen? Maybe we'll just bring you on right now. Are you ready? Or did I catch you by surprise?
Oh, no, that's okay. Hi there.
Oh, I love your background. We're good. How are you?
I've been working on it.
Ten Commandments, huh?
It's the Ten Commandments. We're celebrating that tonight. How apropos.
Oh, well, you know what? I was talking, and so for folks that know Karen Kettling, she's a talk show host. She's on nationally all over the place. I had tried to see if we could do her on Wednesday. She's like, yeah, I'm booked for the rest of the week, Julie, but I have
rest of the year.
So thank you. So, okay, so in Colombia, they've taken over. And you know, the left tries to play this as, oh, these are just cute college kids, kind of like in Vietnam, kind of like the Peace Corps, you know, where they take over the little area in the main campus. Except for these people who are shouting, kill Jewish people, right? I mean, what, you know, what could go
as they do?
As they do. Your take on,
what's amazing is that, you know, Columbia, since it's in the, you know, right in the middle of the city of New York, has an extraordinary number of Jewish students and always has. So it must be a tough time.
Well, they told them not to go to class, right? They canceled classes today online, right?
Oh, and they told Jewish students to go home because they couldn't guarantee their safety. How about that for colluding with haters and intolerant? That's my alma mater, you know.
Oh, it is.
It is.
Well, you're not donating, are you, to them? I would not. I
haven't for years and years. I got my master's in social work there, and Cloward and Piven were there when I was there.
Ah.
As was supposedly Obama, but that's another story.
So you're just your overall take on what's going on and how it just seems to be escalating and escalating.
Well, and this is happening not coincidentally on the first night of Passover, which is the so many things to say, the holiday for liberty and freedom, not just our story, the Jewish people, but Christians and Jews all over the world. None of it is accidental. Many of the Ivy Leagues are engaging in this. And I made some notes. First off, I just want to say that bigotry and hate, unlike what the left has been lecturing and preaching to us forever and ever, which is a lie, serves the interest of communism. It always has, it always will. And they always telegraph what they're going to do by telling everybody else not to do it. And when bigots reduce everybody to a group that they are allowed to hate, that's anti-individualism. It's all pro-conformity. It's reducing all of us to little cogs in a wheel. And that kind of bigotry is exactly what they've been lecturing us about and exactly what they're engaging in. I also think not only has there been a concerted effort to stir hatred towards Jews, and I also think that the divisiveness across the board has been also to serve communism, because everybody is at each other's throats. They are masters. And I'm talking about just a small number of people who push this stuff out, and then what I call the bandwagoneers.
Right.
They're gullible, they're ignorant, they're foolish, and they believe lies, easily believe lies. And they're stirred into hatred. We saw this, in the late 30s and 40s, when people believed all kinds of things, all manner of things, in the service of joining in mass psychosis and hysteria. All of that serves communism. It serves their purposes. And just because I want to get this in, and forgive me, I have a lot of passion for this, and who doesn't? What's happening to our country? Jews are just the canaries in the mine shaft. And I have encountered with this division, old against young, black against white, Christians against Jews, all of it, not just Christians against Jews, white conservatives against liberals, all of it is part of the propaganda. And I have unfortunately even seen some Republicans / supposed conservatives who are falling prey to old prejudices, protocols of the elders of Zion, and the kind of hatred that, again, it isn't really left against right anymore. It's elites against everybody else. But they're masters at exploiting our existing tensions and prejudices. So it is essential that Christians and Jews, as much as possible, stand together. We are the people of the book. Communists hate people of faith. They hate They want to be God in their universe and everyone else's. And traditionally, I'm not the historian Chuck is, but traditionally, the first people they go after are people that believe that they must be accountable to something greater than themselves, namely God, and not men, and not government. That is among the most powerful threats to dictators, has always been and always will.
Well, and there's so many points that you've made. I mean, one, to go back to the original, it's like, this is no accident, right? You don't suddenly, you're a bunch, what, an Ilhan Omar's daughter was like, oh, I'm starving and homeless. It's like, oh, give me a freaking break. But I mean, you know, you don't suddenly have all of these tents and supplies and organization and signs.
Christians and Jews, Christian Jews staying together. It's not a secret that George Soros is funding parts of these.
Right, that's where I was going. These are funded efforts. The people who go there and they like march across and they're stopping bridges, coordinated. Right, that didn't just like happen where everyone woke up one day. I mean, and that's paid for and funded. And so you that exactly right. I mean, it goes to your point, right? Somebody is funding this for a reason. And I also was thinking as you were talking, and then you hit the point that I like what you said about. Not like, but canaries in a coal mine. It's like Jews is just one group, but parents is another group, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've got, you know, white nationalists, whatever that is another group.
Christian nationalists
is another group, right? I mean, election deniers, they do all of this stuff, but it does seem to be, because I want to say this, I hear a sadness in your voice. Normally you're feisty and you're feistier too, but you sound sad. And I mean, it makes me sad to look at, you know, you work so hard in this country and you grew, when I grew up, it's like, you know, we accept people and we're tolerant. And now you've got young people wanting to kill someone solely because of how they look and solely because of their religious belief. And it is
and
like,
because we're paying 25 bucks an hour.
And they're being paid 25 bucks an hour to say that, but I don't understand how we got, well, I do understand, but how we got
tactics.
Here so fast.
These are tactics. And unfortunately, we haven't had all good people, these people I'm talking about who strive to do good. We don't always do good, but at least we know the difference between good and evil.
Yes.
That's the problem. And well, there's so many problems. Gosh.
Well, who's that?
It's just on October 7th and how I felt then. And we saw this coming. When you see that truth is dead and it's only used for propaganda, the media is dead, you know we're going to go back to that same level of ignorance and lies that spawned some of the greatest genocides horribly in history. And nobody who loves goodness and decency is immune to this. We see their enemies list growing and growing and growing. You could tick off all of the people they hate, and all the people they hate are people that stand in the way of their power and their tyranny and their destruction. So we are on the same page. I must urge, you know, when people say, oh, it's AIPAC, which I heard by somebody on your program last week, it isn't that I don't feel perfectly able to criticize Jewish liberals who I cannot stand, but I criticize them as individuals. There isn't a giant Jewish conspiracy that's out to hate people and destroy people. I didn't get any phone call from the government or somewhere about how, you know, we're going to take over the world. And yet this lie has been perpetrated forever. And if we are controlling the world as some sort of Jewish conspiracy group, we're
doing a very good job.
Job of it, because they're all coming after us.
Exactly. Well, that's because it's a double faint within a faint. Well, you know, if you look at the hypocrisy, I'm no Kanye West fan. well, actually, I probably wouldn't even know a song of his I've heard. But wasn't it just a very short time ago he lost his Nike contract? He lost all kinds of contracts because he said something vaguely anti-Semitic about all the producers in Hollywood being Jewish. And he's like canceled out of the universe. Now, if he were to go and stand on this college campus and scream, kill all the Jewish people, forget the producer, kill all the Jewish producers, he would be a hero, right?
And yes, exactly right. This is designed to make you crazy. To have you take leave of your logic. This radical left, not very long ago, not only they called Donald Trump an anti-Semite,
right,
who did more for Israel than any president in recent
and has grandchildren are Jewish. I mean, yeah,
absolutely. But they banned Blazing Saddles, or they cut it to shreds because it is an anti-racist movie. And yet they're out there calling, I don't know if you know this, that because a certain N-word was used to make fun of racists, now Blazing Saddle is racist. Oh. And you must ban that movie. On the other hand, you can stand on a street corner and not only call for the genocide of an entire people, but you're pro-rape, you're pro-gang rape, you love women being pummeled and killed, and it's all designed to make you crazy. And I'm saying, yes. after October 7th, and we saw on Twitter people saying that LGBTQ people are safer in Gaza than they are Florida.
Now,
people can believe that, then they can believe that Jews use Christian or Muslim children's blood to make their matzah on Passover. Anything is possible. You could get them to believe anything.
No, that's
a lot of people giving money to these colleges, inculcating these kind of lies and propaganda.
Well, and the colleges, I think, obviously encourage it, right? I mean, the college, if we were to go try to have, say, a Donald Trump rally in the middle of Columbia, right? And we would all have our little tents there. I mean, they would host us. I mean, we wouldn't even be allowed to have a perimeter.
It's safe. I mean, they punch 14-year-old girls, white girls, in the face.
Right.
Well, we were there for the pro-police rally in downtown Denver, and she got punched. I mean,
I remember.
Right.
And here's what I wonder, and I know maybe I'm being insanely optimistic here amidst all of this, and that is why? I know that the propaganda media owns the media, but why can't more Republican conservatives, not even Republicans, stand up and feed these words back to these liberals who've been lecturing us? You're the misogynists for not standing up for women. Look at Title IX today, right?
Let me explode my head on this for a second, because we watch golf. Oh, we watch golf over the weekend, and Nelly Korda, who's a great American female golfer, won her fifth in a row, a historic thing, blah, blah, blah. So the whole LPGA thing, it was constantly girls for golf, girls for golf, girls for golf. And I was just like, the hypocrisy that the same people are pushing that, and hooray, we're all cheering for Nelly Korda, justifiably so. Biden is getting rid of Title IX to have it include, your sexual identity. So all of these little girls that they're saying, oh, we need to get a million more little girls involved in golf.
Little boys, and we can transfer them. Transform into little girls.
It's just like
they get away with this stuff.
It's just like it was making me sick.
They get away with it because we must use their language to hold them accountable. You are the bigots and the racists. You're the intolerant ones. You're the ists, what is it? Racist, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, blah, blah, blah.
Xenophobic.
Blondist. There are a lot of blondists out there. Yeah.
And it is a war. It's a war of propaganda to see who can be the greater victim. If it doesn't matter, you can commit genocide and go into people's homes, murder them. They were unarmed civilians killing babies. And if you can flip the script and claim that you're a victim, people will suddenly hate your enemy. That is the tactic being used. And yet they get away with it because people don't understand the tactic.
Well, here's the thing. They get away with it in part because I think some of the politicians are part of it. Right. In terms of, as you said, it's not really Jewish people, Palestinian people. It's not left, right. It is wealthy elites, globalists against the rest of us. And I think like somebody like Lindsey Graham, right?
The Middle East so-called conflict is a profoundly complicated, profoundly intense thing that most Americans, including myself, don't profess to understand everything.
Plus, there's a lot of oil.
We're living in a time in which people believe the headline and they think they understand everything. They right. don't.
Right. I'm not sure Mike Johnson really did us much good when he announced a few minutes ago that the Jews killed Christ. Now, I don't think that was helpful.
He said that? No. Oh, okay. No, he's making that up. Oh, Chuck, don't stop. Come on,
you know, well, Chuck, you know, and neither did it help. Neither did it help when Biden, who doesn't have a brain and can't walk or talk, says that he gave Netanyahu a come to Jesus moment. You know, he used to be corrupt enough a politician to not say that 30 years ago. Now he says it because he's too ignorant to know not to say it.
Well,
next time it'll be come to Muhammad. Yeah.
Well, and Karen, your point, and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because you drilled down so excellently that yes, you cannot ignore the propaganda and the tactics, and you have to counter it. But underneath it all, you have to remember what they're really trying to accomplish, and that is turning the country communist and taking over. These, like you said, this is a playbook that's been used successfully around the world, and they're using it here. And they count on us falling for. We get all excited about the kids in camp at college, and then we neglect to see who they're putting in as administrators, right? We neglect to see who we're giving aid money to. We neglect, you know, we quit talking about all the immigrants at the border, that kind of stuff. And I think that's, you know, again, there is a method to their madness, very definitely, I think.
Absolutely. Somebody told me, you know, I don't keep up with the news as much because, again, there's so much propaganda, it hurts your soul, right? Yeah. So somebody told me recently, and I believe this, that I guess Biden, believe me for not, I mean, I didn't know all of it, is going after Orthodox Jews in Israel and claiming and trying to engage them as being racist or intolerant or something and not allowing them. As soon as I heard that, I knew what was going on. There has been an existing conflict between Orthodox Jews who don't serve in the military and more secular Jews who are required to. Okay. So that's a conflict in their environment. I don't live there,
yeah.
But leave it to communist Marxist socialists to take an existing conflict or tension and exploit it so people will do exactly what you're saying. They will get so caught up because they already have passion about an issue that they'll forget who's inciting them, who's provoking them, who is making them feel all this hate and fear and disease, so right. that they can do what they want to do, which is to create incivility and destabilization.
Right.
Well, we're lucky here in Colorado. We've got a Jewish attorney general, a Jewish secretary of state, and a Jewish governor. And they've been on the forefront. I mean, just on the forefront. You can't have ignored that they're fighting incredibly hard.
You know, it's hard when you're a tiny minority. And of course, as a Jewish conservative, I'm a minority within a minority, a minority. And there are great Jewish conservatives, Dennis Prager, Mark Levin. But when people want to hate the Jews, they always point to the noisiest Jews who are liberal and just ethnically Jewish. There's nothing too Jewish about them except their genetics. They have abandoned the Jewish people, as has Chucky Schumer, a useful idiot who was paraded in front of America to interfere with a foreign country's election. So he could be you know, trotted out and tell all the Jews, it's okay to hate Israel now, and I can call for a regime change. And by the way, you're just not rolling over to Hamas enough for our liking.
Yeah. No, it is crazy to me, but it goes back to what you said. They've destroyed. I mean, if Schumer ever had a soul, it's long since gone, right? And so anything and that's just part of it, right? They need to get. I mean, they attack Catholics, right? They attack Christians. They attack families. Anything that provides a foundation other than the government. They need to attack and get rid of, because I think that's our ultimate goal, where the government will be.
I can't remember who the woman was, but she was on some panel and she's incredulous, saying, can you believe these people? They believe that the rights come from God, not the government.
Oh, archaic.
Can you believe these idiots?
And can you believe, I just can't emphasize enough. And, you know, if I could shout it from the rooftops and be, you know, Paul Revere, Paulette Revere, I would say, hold fast to the greatest of our principles, which is the rights of an individual, personal accountability. Stop judging people based on certain groups. And I know I would be criticized. Well, I'm always criticizing the radical left, but I've made it very clear that it is an ideology that I am criticizing. Right. You know, not all of us are Jeffrey Epstein. Not all of us. Some of us might be Einstein. Okay? Why is it they always point to the worst Jews instead of the best Jews? Because it is a great excuse to hate people by their group instead of for what they've done individually. That's the real enemy of the left, and that is individualism, personal responsibility, accountability to God, loving one another. These are the things they hate. Families. Right. They hate families. Right. They hate children.
Well, and there's some hope. You know, I haven't watched it, but the documentary about the Nickelodeon and all of the pedophilia going on there. So that's being exposed. Even Bill Maher's talking about that. And did you see the story? This is where, again, kids at school walked out in a protest because they were upset that the furries at school were being allowed to kick and bite them and bark
and
at them.
Bite and them. Them.
And bite and them.
Bite them. So that happened today, too.
This, right.
Like, oh my God, it's not a slow news day.
No.
About, what is it, not only Title IX, but it's an excuse to control speech.
Right.
And to tell people that if you believe you're an aardvark, people have to call you an aardvark. It's not enough for you to believe you're an aardvark. You have to force everybody else to acknowledge your psychosis.
Right.
And that's how they control speech and create conformity. And look how easy it was during COVID.
Well, and you know, and
people were wishing you dead.
And I'm no giant Heidi Ganahl fan, but remember the attacks that she came under by Kyle Clark and some of the left media when she brought this up during the campaign about the furry stuff in school, right? In school. And they said, Heidi Ganahl, she ran for governor, and she was viciously attacked, right?
She gave in.
And she kind of gave in, but she's back. But
she's back.
Well, they just flat out said, oh, it's not true. I mean, there'd be pictures of kids, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, that's not true.
Megyn Kelly just did a giant expose on that was astonishing. It's like we're all living in a bad sci-fi movie.
Oh, years ago, I did a series of stories about furries. They used to have, I don't know if they still do, the largest furry convention in the universe was in Denver, right? Now, here was the thrust of the story. This is probably going to shock you to understand, but a lot of it has to do with perverted sex. Go figure. You know what I mean? It's like, it's
I could totally believe that.
It is true.
Why? Because I'm just not up on this, Julie.
It's just whatever, you know, some people are into dressing up like animals and hooking up. And it is all anonymous. And they were committing all kinds of crimes. And the cops, this is the thrust of the story, the cops were befuddled because they said, well, who raped you? And they'd be like, the iguana, you know?
And of course they bring children into it.
Of course.
But now we have children all dressed as little furries biting other children.
And here's
the parents' tacit acceptance in this. I mean,
the furry thing is, it's not just weird. People need to be aware. I'm not all furries, but there is a dark underbelly to the whole furry cult. Yeah, the whole furry thing. Not all. I don't want to discriminate against all furries.
Don't put them in a group.
Not going to put them in a group.
Individual.
Just to come full circle.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Boy, did I forget? Just to come full circle. Shoot. I always do that.
I was talking over you. So, well, you know, just here's one thing I would like. Those kids, though, do give me hope, right? You've got these kids standing up to the school and staging their own walkout, and the school must have been torn. It's like, because on the one hand, we want to encourage kids walking out for political purposes.
We don't have to educate them.
And on the other hand, though, I don't know. Do we like furries or don't we like furries?
Well,
I imagine individual classrooms don't. But so there is hope there. And I think, as always, the left goes so far, right? I think that you know, closing the bridges and doing this, you know, and even Donald Trump in the Supreme Court, you know, looking at obstruction is saying, isn't this obstruction? Aren't these people obstructing
stuff?
Yeah,
but for all the things you say about Democrats, I mean, 702, there's Mike Johnson saying, I can break this tie.
Oh, yeah, so I can spy on us.
Well, what difference does it make if we get you yahoos the House? You just do what the Democrats want you to do. It's just hard to believe. But
We're in very difficult times. People don't realize that Passover is the first night tonight. And I hate to sound like this, but we've got to pray for our country.
Yeah.
Because short of a miracle, you know, I don't think the Red Sea is going to part unless we get a miracle and we get honest elections and we get, I think all of us are being asked to take a stand and to recognize good over evil. It doesn't mean we are better than anybody else. It means, are you going to stand for good or are you going to stand for the elevation of evil? And I think every single one of us are being asked to stand for that. And so in that sense, Julie, you are an optimist. I don't know how you can be, but hey,
well, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you think of it, this is just, again, what I believe. Nothing is an accident. None of us are here. None of us are listening to this show. None of us met each other or heard of each other by accident, right? And I think that exactly what you said, we are being called, and we're being called because we can do it. You know, God isn't going to call us to do it if he knows there's a bunch of wusses and they're going to, you know, they're going to be trampled to death. Well, maybe, but you know what I mean? Because some people have been trampled. But no, all I'm saying is I believe you're absolutely right. We, each of us are being called and we are here for a reason because we can make a difference. Now, you know, there are many obstacles, but sometimes you just keep fighting, right? You just keep fighting.
And if you do believe, read your Old Testament, what we call the Torah, it is almost a shame, shanda in Yiddish, it's a shanda to lose hope, because the story of the Jewish people is one of true miracles. We were never supposed to be here this long, and we keep being here. If you read the story of Esther and Purim, and how just when it always seems like the Jews are done for, they're not done for. So, and neither is America. So I mean, I think we do have to have that kind of hope, but we have to back it up with conviction.
Exactly. Karen, you are amazing as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
We
appreciate it.
We appreciate you so much. Thank you.
I love you guys.
All right, bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. Karen Cataline there. Well, and I do think that. I think we are in our own way, right? Everybody's called to do something different, but in our own way, each of us are called. There was so much other stuff to talk about. Real quick, the Trump trial, we'll be talking more about that. They had to quit early because one of the jurors had a toothache.
Trump wants to go see his son's graduate. No,
can't
do that. Toothache, everybody out of here. Get out.
Trump's
get
having out a heart attack. I'm sorry, he cannot leave. I can't leave. But I think one thing that did come out today is just how stupid the case is, right? Just, I mean, Jonathan Turley was sort of like, I mean, he was like, I thought there might be more or something, but nope, nothing more. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to convict him because it is a New York jury, right? And that's all.
Well, one is complicated, so maybe the two lawyers are very much against it. Oh, this makes total sense. This is
Right. Well, I mean, I go, you know, I can see people, they could probably skip the whole trial and just go to the vote right now.
Just go
straight to the punishment phase. So we'll be talking about that. We do want to break down the Ukraine vote. Thank you, Doug Lamborn, for betraying us once again.
And I wanted to maybe Wednesday, you know, our beloved Dick Wadhams was with Peter Boyles. And I had to go with some of the incredibly asinine statements he made, which are fact-free. I mean, you know, they're just fact-free. And he used to care more. He used to be a little more careful. And now he's not. He's untethered. He is untethered.
Well,
and as the unofficial spokesman for Phil Anschutz, he's an embarrassment for Phil. I mean, Phil ought to say, look, you got to come a little closer to the
edge. To reality.
Best defense closest to the truth, not farthest from the truth, Jesus.
We'll break that down. So that's going to do it for us today. Thank you.
We'll see everybody
on Wednesday.
Take care.